Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Lord Krishna shows us the universal form, text 29. Vatsan vuchan kvachit asame krosha sanjataha saha. Steyam swad yat yata. Tadipaya kapitai steya yogai. Varakan bhakshan vivajati sasyanati vandam vinatyati. Dravya labde sagriha kupito yat yu pakro shatokan. Vatsan, the calves. Muchan, releasing. Kvachit, sometimes. Asamaye, at odd times. Krosha sanjata hasa, after this, when the head of the house is angry, Krishna begins to smile. Steyam, obtained by stealing. Swadu, very tasteful. Ati, eats. Ata, thus. Dadi paya, pot of curd and milk. Kalpitahai, devised. Steya yogai, by some sort of stealing process. Markan, to the monkeys. Bhakshan, giving to eat. Vibhajati, divides their portion. Sa, the monkey. Chet, if. Na, not. Ati, eats. Bandam, the pot. Binati, he breaks. Javya alabe, when edibles are unavailable or he cannot find such pots. Sagriha kalpita, he becomes angry at the residents of the house. Yati, he goes away. Upakrosha, irritating and pinching. Tokan, the small children. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear friend Yashoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows, and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and yogurt, which he then eats and drinks. The monkeys assemble, he divides it with them. And when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take any more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will be angry at the householders. And for his revenge, he'll agitate the small children by pinching them. Then when the children begin to cry, Krishna will go away. Sounds like our Krishna. Little rascal. Purport. The narration of Krishna's naughty childhood activities would be presented to Mother Jasoda in the form of complaints. Sometimes Krishna would enter the house of a neighbor, and if he found no one there, he would release the calves before the time for the cows to be milked. The calves are actually supposed to be released when their mothers are milked. But Krishna would release them before that time. And naturally the calves would drink all the milk from their mothers. When the cowherd men saw this, they would chase Krishna and try to catch him, saying, "Here is Krishna doing mischief." But he would flee in another house, enter another house, where he'd again devise some means to steal butter and curd. When the cowherd men would again try to capture him, saying, "Here is the butter thief. Better capture him." And they would be angry, but Krishna would simply smile, and they'd forget everything. Sometimes in their presence, he began eating the curd and butter. There was no need for Krishna to eat butter, since his belly is always full. But he tried to eat it, or else he would break the pots and distribute the contents to the monkeys. This way, Krishna was always engaged in mischief making. If in any house he could not find any butter, curd to steal, he would go into a room and agitate the small children by sleeping there, by pinching them. And then when they cried, he would go away. Smartadvak saratam vishnur vismartak jatuna kinchit sarvavidi nisedya syur etiyor evakankara. Smartadvak saratam vishnur. That one should always remember Krishna. Vismartak jatuna kinchit. And at no time should one ever forget him. Sarvavidi nisedya syur. This is the essence of all the vidis, what we're supposed to do, and the nishedas, what we're not supposed to do. Atiyor eva kinkara. Everything else, they're all servants, kinkara, of these two instructions. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Now one may wonder why the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become a thief and torturing little children. Because if Krishna's activities were just, even in his childhood pastimes, didn't capture someone's attention, they wouldn't fulfill any purpose. If Krishna just every day just went out and played in the sand, there wouldn't be much of a Bhagavatam to. It wouldn't be very exciting. Nor would the people who were participating in the pastimes have a reason to focus their attention very much on Krishna. Unless Krishna went around to all the different houses and stole from them. First of all, Krishna was going around the houses. He had to have some reason to go there. Unless he was selling back to Godheads or something. But he wasn't doing that. So the only reason to go there, it wasn't the householders had television sets and playgrounds. It was rather a simple culture. All they had was butter and milk. So Krishna devised a way of giving his association to all these householders in Vrindavan because they wanted that his association. So he became a butter thief. Now it is said that actually all the cows in Vrindavan, they only have one desire, that is to serve Krishna. And all the ladies in Vrindavan, they had only one desire, to make the butter and yogurt to feed Krishna, because they're all in the maternal vatsalya mood. So they were hoping that Krishna would come and steal the butter and yogurt. They were praying for it. So when Krishna would come and steal the butter and yogurt, they were quite happy. Although, when someone steals, you're not supposed to be happy. So it makes it more exciting when they become angry at Krishna. Because if one becomes angry at Krishna, like Shushupal or Harani Kangsa, then one will think about Krishna even more intently. And therefore derive even more bliss. Because by anger, for instance, the mind even becomes more concentrated. So therefore these pastimes are eternally going on. And no one really wants to stop them. And at the same time, that desire to steal things when one was a child is within Krishna. It's a natural impetus. And therefore, that same thing is there in children as a reflection of Krishna's propensity to steal. Little children also steal because they never think that this is mine, this is yours. They think everything is mine. If you put something in a child's hand, immediately the fingers close and they won't let it go. It's theirs. Even if you put your finger there, their fingers will close around it. If you want to go home, you have to pull it out. So that pent, of course, Krishna, he owns everything. And therefore, for him, it's not really stealing. It's just taking his own property. Just like when Krishna danced and the rasa dance with the supposedly wives of the cowherd men. But actually, he wasn't dancing with their wives because actually everyone is Krishna's wife. Krishna is in everyone's heart. He's the proprietor of every body and every soul. So he's the real husband of all the ladies he danced with. It was the cowherd men who were dancing with other people, who were associating with other people's wives, with Krishna's wives. Of course, when the ladies went out to dance with Krishna, they didn't go out and dance in their material bodies. They went and danced with Krishna in their spiritual bodies. So no one can actually complain because they're eternal paramours of Krishna in the Parakiya Rasa. So this idea that Krishna is the owner and controller of everything is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. It's the basic sambandha, and everything should be seen from that. But from the platform of Yoga Maya, that still there's some aspect that Krishna is actually a thief, although actually he's not a thief. To make the pastime more stimulating and exciting, there's some mood that Krishna is going to come and steal. Even Mother Jasoda sometimes sees Krishna stealing some butter and yogurt, and she's in ecstasy watching it. She wanted to see his eyes moving in fear when he's stealing the butter and yogurt. So these are eternal pastimes. Krishna is unlimitedly attractive. Otherwise, if someone comes and steals from you, and you become angry, and then the person who's stealing from you smiles, and then you forget everything. It must be quite a personality. Could you imagine if any one of us went up to any one of us, we took whatever was in their pockets, and they became disturbed, and we just smiled at them, and they said, "Oh, it's all right, no worries." Check the other pocket. It usually doesn't happen. And even if we don't say anything within our minds, we're not going to be very satisfied. But these are transcendental pastimes. And they're eternally going on. And although it's a very simple pastime, Krishna coming and stealing in different varieties. Like one time, they're waiting, one of the ladies was waiting for Krishna. And then Krishna came to steal the butter and yogurt, and she caught him. And she said, "Now, by the arm, now I'm going to take you to Mother Jasoda and prove that you're a thief." So on the way there, Krishna turned into her son. And so she didn't notice it. And so she arrived at the house of Mother Jasoda and said, "Your son is a thief, and I've caught him, and here's the proof." And then she looked at Krishna, and he had turned into her son, and she was very embarrassed. And then on the way back, Krishna turned into Krishna and said, "Don't try to do that again." So Krishna's pastimes are full of, even simple things like stealing butter and yogurt, are full of endless varieties. And even the children, I mean, if you were informed that tomorrow Krishna's going to come and pinch you, would you complain? Call the police? Some coward boy's coming to pinch me. No, we'd be waiting, looking forward to it. How auspicious to be touched by Krishna. How ecstatic to be touched by Krishna. So, these pastimes are not what they seem to be. They're all transcendental ecstasy and love. And we should look forward to participating in them. Even as a calf, just imagine if Krishna released us and we got to drink Sarabi cow milk. How nice that would be. Milk that Krishna personally drinks himself. Of course, hopefully we don't go back to the spiritual world as vegans. And when they offer us some milk that Krishna drank, we say, sorry, I don't. This is barbaric, drinking milk. We wind up in the material world again very quickly. Oh, you're a vegan? We made a mistake, sorry. We're bringing you back. You're going to be the first person since eternity has ever come here and gone back. But vegans aren't welcomed here. Go back. Well, maybe if you're a vegan and you go back there, you may change your habits. You see everyone else except for you is drinking milk and eating curd and yogurt. Any questions or comments so far? Yes. Here's the microphone. You have to go a little quicker. What's that? What's that?
All that Krishna is doing is all fun for him or pastime.
Yes.
Ali to pomeni, da potem tudi v naši praksi ne smemo
jemati vsega tako resno. In our practice, does it mean that we don't have to take all this so seriously?
Seriously? Yeah. Krishna takes everything seriously.
Relax.
You can be relaxed and be serious at the same time. If you come up, if you're in Vrindavan pastimes, and it's time for you to offer some prasadam to Radha and Krishna, you think you should kind of walk up there swinging the plate around? And Krishna's, the gopi say, what are you doing? Hey, relax, you know. I'm supposed to have some fun, right? Here, Krishna, catch. No, it's pleasurable. It's unlimitedly pleasurable. But you take it seriously. When Krishna kills Kansa, he doesn't go, hey, you want to play some games? I jump on your chest and hit you a few times. What do you think? No, Krishna takes it, he's very serious. He jumps on Kansa's chest and he severely hits him. But it's fun for Krishna. And Kansa gets benefited too. So our conception of fun is usually frivolous. But actually Krishna's concept of fun is blissful. It's pleasurable. Although it may be very serious at the same time. Very nicely done. Artistically done.
Hvala, še nekaj bi vprašala. Zato, ker ko poslušamo teh zabavnih v Krišni, sem tako prekrita s temi pravili, da težko razumem to njegovo zabavo.
I'm covered by the rules and regulations and so on when I'm listening to these pastimes, so it's really hard for me to understand.
Yes, of course, because we're conditioned souls. What do we know about what transcendence is? therefore, generally speaking, we go through the nine cantos a good number of times before we actually begin to understand what's going on in the tenth canto. So we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't reject what's going on, nor should we artificially think that bewildered by it. You know, what's going on here? Just try to listen and accept. Try to appreciate this. You know, and one day, these things will be revealed to us. Anything else? Yes. Anything else? Okay. Kuala Granta Shimad Bhagavatam Kidaj.